only believe, for all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Before we go to the Word this evening, I'd like to read a couple emails that I received today from Brother Don Hoffman concerning our trip to Chile, and also from a brother in Mozambique, Brother Enoch Kapisi. He said, Brother Brian, and let's just bow our heads in prayer before we do this. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word tonight, believing you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you, Father, for sending us your prophet, giving us a place to have confidence, Lord, because of the vindication. And so, Lord, we commit our reading of your scripture and of your prophet's words tonight and bring them together, Lord, to show that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We commit it all back into thee, and we pray, Father, that which you speak in these words tonight will be manifested in your bride in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The email from Brother Don Hoffman, he says, Brother Brian, I was just communicating with Brother Matrias, who's a song leader in Cordoba, Argentina, via Facebook. As you remember, Brother Enrique Villa, actually it's pronounced Villa when you have two L's in Spanish, it's like a Y. Brother Enrique Villa had just found out that he had cancer in both lungs a day or so before we arrived. In one of the services, he asked for prayer for healing. He came forth for prayer for his healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We laid hands in what we did, and Brother Matthias then just informed me that tonight, Brother Villa, come over to announce to his family, all were gathered together, that after several medical studies, the doctors told him he is completely healthy. Amen. Praise be to God. This is truly Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Brian, this is so wonderful to see that we are serving a living God. This should be common among all the believers. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. God bless you, Brother Brian. Continue to hold his banner high as a true soldier of the cross. And then another email came in. Right after that, I sent that one out to the brothers because I like to share these things with the brothers. And Brother Enoch testified. He said, Brother, yesterday I was talking to my wife about a certain woman whom I prayed for who was healed from cancer. She's not a believer of this message of the hour, but her leg was completely black, swollen up and dry, eaten up by cancer, and the doctors recommended it to be amputated, but she refused. She didn't want to have just one leg. Last Sunday I went to preach in Catholic Kamtama, which is one of the churches that this church built, one of our churches. After the service, as I was passing by the house where this woman was staying, I heard a calling, Pastor. And then I stopped and turned around, and it was the woman whom I had prayed for. She said, Pastor, I'm healed. Can you see my leg? It's clean. I'm putting on shoes. She went for tests. The doctors confirmed that she had no cancer. She said, I wanted to come to your home to tell you, but I did not know where you were staying. I just told her to thank God, who is the healer of all our diseases, and make her life right with God and fulfill all righteousness. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So two cases here of cancer where God has done what he always will do. Amen. This evening, I'd like to continue with our study from Christ and Mystery God Revealed. This will be number 145 in our series, number 25 in our mini-series on the Christian life. And I'd like to entitle this Confirmation of the Commission. And but before we go to Brother Brown's message, let's open our Bibles to Mark 16. And then after that, we're going to read from John 14:12 for our text tonight. Now, Mark 16, verse 11, we read, And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, And they that went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. So here's a case where you have a woman who saw Jesus alive after the resurrection, and people didn't believe her. She was a good Christian woman. Then you had two believers who were part of the, they were the disciples, and they didn't believe them at all. So look how the skeptical, how skeptical and guarded the brethren were of each other, even to the point of denying anyone else's testimony who had any experience that they themselves did not have. But it's always been that way. The brothers rejected Joseph because God showed him things that he didn't show his brothers. But let me ask you that, this. Is that righteous grounds for skepticism just because you don't have that experience yourself? Brother Branham, I heard him say a quote the other day. He said, I don't have the faith that Enoch had. He said, but I'd never stand in his way. You understand? We don't have the faith that Brother Branham had. And we would never stand in his way. You see, Paul said every person is given a measure of faith. And just because you might not see what somebody else is seeing, don't be so skeptical. Don't be like Joseph's brethren. Sit back and say, well, like Gamaliel said to Paul, if it be of God, then you find yourself fighting God. If it be not of God, it'll perish. It won't last. So afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had been risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice, he didn't get so mad at them for their unbelief that he started casting names at them and started, you know, putting aspersions on them. He just simply said, hey, O ye of little faith. And yet, then he said, go ye forth into all nations and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now notice, after his commission, or after he commissions them, he tells them that there will be a confirmation of their commission. And that confirmation is the supernatural signs that will take place within their lives. So what he's saying here is that there will be an identifiable confirmation that they have been sent by him. And that identifiable confirmation or seal that they have the goods to preach is that he will back up their calling with supernatural exploits. Now, let's turn in our Bible to see if that's not what he's telling us in John 14:12. We already saw it in Mark 16. John 14:10. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, Brother Bram said that means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, show it by keeping my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. That word is gnosko. It means an experiential knowledge. You have an experiential knowledge of him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's how you'll know him, because he will live himself out in you and through you. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Now that word comfortless is a Greek word, orphanos, or as we would say in the English, orphans. I will not leave you orphans, he's saying. So I ask the question, when is an orphan no longer an orphan? When he's adopted. He says, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you shall live also. How do you see him when the world can't see him? Because he's alive in you. Paul said, I'm crucified, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not me that's living, but Christ is living in me. I know it. You see? That's how we knew. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He it is that expresses his love toward me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Again, how does he manifest himself to you? In you. In you. That's why Brother Bram said he said that's anybody. He said that's the person that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Only they can say that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ because they know it, because it's apparent to them within. Now the question is, how will he manifest himself to you? By manifesting himself through you and in you. In Romans 8:11, we read, but if the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the self, to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself will bear witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. And again, we ask ourselves, so how then will the Spirit of God, which is God's own Spirit within you, how will he indeed bear witness of you? Or bear witness that you're his children? Because his Spirit will bring your spirit into subjection, and you will do what he shows you to do. Not like a dumb robot. Like Brother Brown said, you're a prisoner of love. The very word bear witness means that God will be in you and his Spirit in you will identify or confirm in you that he is working in you to will and to do. Now Philippians 2:13 tells us, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if there's no willing going on and no doing going on, is there a God in you working? Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun the good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That means all you got to do is just get out of the way and let him will and do. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish, that means confirm you in every good word and work. So it's up to God to confirm. Now notice, we have the promise that it will be the very God himself who created the heavens and the earth who will confirm these things in you. And how does he confirm those things in you? By doing them himself, just as he did in his own Son. It is God who works in you both to will and to do. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Who's making you perfect? God's making you perfect. He will make you mature. He will make you a finished product in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. My greatest desire is to just kill off Brian and let Jesus Christ have this body. So who's working in you? God himself promised that he will work in you. What a beautiful promise we have of his glorious presence, his glorious life living itself out in us to first will and then to do. And it's him that is willing in us. And it is him that is working in us those things which he promised he would do. That's why I don't understand the fuss on John 14:12, because Jesus, here's the promise. The works that I do shall he do also. He that believeth on me, the believer, Brother Brown said, that's the born again person. The works that I do shall he do also. Even greater than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. And whatsoever things you ask my Father in my name, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. So it's not us doing anyway. It's him working in you to will and to do. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Notice, glorified together, endoxazo. In, I-N meaning inside, doxa meaning the values and the judgments and the opinions, zoe, we know zoe means life. In you, the doxa, which is the values and opinions of God expressing or manifesting or magnifying themselves through your life, through your zoe. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the doxa, which shall be revealed, notice, in us. Not to us, in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation, waits for the apocalypsis, waits for the revealing, waits for the unveiling of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We groan. You know why you groan? You groan because you say, oh, I didn't do that again, did I? Oh, I just wish I could just have complete victory over the body of this death. But I thank God through Jesus Christ who hath given me the victory. Now, this brings us to our thought tonight that we'll study from Brother Bram's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, number 224, paragraph 224. He says, remember, think of it, that people born of his Spirit in a day like this, in this great denominational age that we live, and the living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally. This life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed, and the word is in the seed that the sower went forth to sow, and the life is Christ in the word personally in you. Oh, I thought this was all about Brother Branham. Well, Brother Branham's saying it's personally about you. The life is Christ in the word personally in you, vindicating something in you that you cannot do. Vindicating in you, not just vindicating a prophet. Vindicating something in you that you cannot do, proving himself that it's not you, but it's him. And you become one, a love slave to him to be a bride. Now notice his words here. He says, when you have received the confirmation within you of the very life of Christ living itself out from you, that is God vindicating in you that you have his word abiding in you. Now that's what he's saying here. And I know there are people who have a hard time with this, but this is scripture, and this is what Brother Branham is saying here. He said this, Jesus said the same thing, John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, just before he made this promise to the believers, Jesus said in John 15:4, he said, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. So how do you expect to have the cart before the horse? You've got to have the horse first. You've got to have the life of Christ in you first. So there's your key to what he's saying here. It's not about you being able of yourself as though you have some power of your own. But if you abide in him and his living word abides in you, then ask what you will and it will be done. He then says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Comes back to sovereignty. Now, just as Jesus said, the Son can of himself do nothing, so neither can you or I do anything except we abide in him. Then we ask, and he does it. Now, in his sermon, Confirmation of the Commission, beautiful sermon. I listened to this last night as I was laying awake. Brother Rand preached this January 22, 1962, and he makes the point quite clear. In paragraph 22, he says, now, I think that anything ought to be confirmed. If you build a house, it'd have to be built according to specifications, or they wouldn't confirm the house to be built, and you'd have to tear it down again and build it over. Anybody that's built a house, you know that every single stage, you have to have the inspector come out. He inspects the electric, he inspects the plumbing, he inspects the walls, he inspects the windows, he inspects the insulation, he inspects the roofing, he inspects the foundation, he inspects the pre-foundation. You know, he inspects the footers, he inspects the gravel, he inspects everything. There are specifications for all of this. And so Brother Branham is talking about confirmation here. They wouldn't confirm the house to be built, and you'd have to tear it down again or build it over. And I think also if you were going down the road and or out at your work and someone would walk up to you and say, well, I am a United States Marshal. I now put you under arrest in the name of my office. Now, you have a right to say to that man, if you look at him and he has on a uniform and a badge pinned to him, that yet doesn't make him a United States Marshal. Any phony could wear that. You can buy a badge over here, almost in a 10-cent store, go to any rummage sale and get a uniform or anything. That doesn't make him a United States Marshal. To make himself identified, he has to have his papers with a seal upon them that confirm his statement that he is a United States Marshal, or he's nothing until he's confirmed to be that. He has confirmed his commission, and he does it by sealed statement, a declaration to show that this man has been sworn in, and his commission has been sealed with the seal of the United States. And then over the top of his name, and that makes him then, whether he has a badge on or whether he has a uniform on, as long as he's packing this paper, he is the marshal, and that's his commission. Just a badge and a uniform won't work. Now you ask yourself, where is Brother Branham driving at? It's beautiful. Now we realize that Jesus said here in Mark's the 16th chapter that all that he sent out on commission would bear the confirmation. The sign shall follow them that believe. Now, he didn't say they maybe will follow them, or they might follow. He said, go ye into all the world. Now, if somebody wants to chop that commission off 2,000 years ago, but he said, all the world to every creature, the signs shall follow in all the world and to every creature. See, and that was the signs that was to follow to approve the identification. The Bible said the gospel came not unto us in word only, but through the power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's the Holy Ghost taking the word of God and manifesting it and making it manifest, see? And otherwise, the only way that the signs of Mark 16 can follow the believer is that the Holy Spirit himself takes the word of God and demonstrates it to the people. That's it. Now, faith makes that word live, see? The word is God. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will, and it will be done for you. See, that's staying with Christ in the word. Don't go right or left, stay right with it, see? And then it's actually not your word then, it's his word, and his word has the power and the authority behind it. Yeah. Now, and if the Holy Spirit, which is God's word, or the power of God's word, comes in with God's word, it'll make God's word display itself. Go you into all the world and demonstrate the gospel to every creature, see? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What a beautiful setting that is. If we would go deep now and listen, that was the credentials. That was to hang onto every man that went forth preaching the gospel. And no man has a right to preach the gospel without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus would not let Peter, James, John, any of the rest of them preach the gospel until they waited in the city of Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost had filled them, because it's the Holy Ghost that makes the word of God go into action. See? Now, that same word is just as alive tonight as it was the hour that he spoke it. See, all we need is the Holy Spirit behind the word, puts it into action, and demonstrates the power that it promises. Every blessing that God promised, everything that he said, can be brought to life if the Holy Spirit is behind the word. Because that's the thing that quickens the word and gives it life, see? And now we know that that's right. Jesus said, these signs shall follow all that I send. Huh? Can I read that again? Jesus said, these signs shall follow all that I send. Others refuse. Well, that's all. Certainly. Any unbeliever, any critic of the word can come along with an identification of some denomination, some man-made organization, or something and say, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Lutheran, I'm Baptist, whatever it might be. He could easily identify himself into a fellowship of that same denominational church because of his credentials. But his credentials only come from an organization that's been made up by a theory and not by the word of God. But God, if he's sent from God, the signs shall follow them that believe. See, Jesus said so. See, Where's Brother Branham driving at here? He's saying you can represent a church and have a certain doctrine, and you can be accepted by those who have the same doctrine. That's your credentials for that organization. But he said, but that's not your credentials that God sent you. You see, it doesn't matter if you call yourself a pastor or if you got a 5,000 people in the congregation calls you a pastor, calls you an apostle, calls you a teacher. It doesn't matter. If the signs and wonders are not following the ministry, it's not sent by God. That's what he's saying. Am I misquoting this? Not according to the scripture. See, it's either whether you take what some organization said, some man-made theory said, they'll preach the doctrine of that theory. Is that not what he said just there? Is that not what I just paraphrased? And then that is their credentials to the deacon board or whatever it is, that they stand in good fellowship with that organization. I have nothing against that. Understand, but I'm only defending what Jesus said, see? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And Jesus said in St. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, that's absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And how can a man believe that he is even sent from God and then turn around and deny the very commission that God said would be the identification of every person that he sent out? Now, come on. That's wonderful. How can a man say that there's no such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost? How can a man say that there's no such a thing as healing of the sick? How can a man say that there's no such a thing as speaking in tongues, casting out devils, when that was the very credentials that Jesus pinned onto every believer that he sent out? That's the authority. Now, you might go to school and get a PhD and an LLD and whatever more you want to do. And that's all right. That's your identification to that organization. And that's all right. Them's all right. I have nothing against them. Wish I had them. But the identification that Jesus, when he sends a man, is these signs shall follow them that believe. That's the identification that he sent by God. These signs shall follow them that believe. And remember, he's not only saying this, but he also just told us John 14:12 as well. Now, as I said, any phony man can pick up a uniform or a badge. But that really isn't a credential. And any preacher can pick up a Bible or a stack of message books and call himself a man sent from God. But listen, if the supernatural is not identifying out from that ministry is not sent from God. He's running without a message. Now, as I said, any phony man can pick up a uniform or a badge, but that really isn't a credential. It's the credentials that counts, not the uniform or the badge. And there's many people, and it's too bad, I have to say this, but it's truth. But we must be honest. There's too many of our Pentecostal people that's wearing just the badge and the uniform, see? Because that they live so different than what really a Pentecostal should be. Until there's nothing to it, that's all. And it only brings a reproach upon the cause. That's right, it makes people suspicious. But Jesus gave the verification that it would be all right because these signs would follow the believers. That's the one thing. So how do you know if a man's right? See if God's with him. If he comes to you with the truth of the gospel and he's got the signs following him, that's one that God sent. Now what if he just comes with the signs but he's off the word? Then we know because Brother Ram brought us out, false and anointed ones at the end time. But Jesus gave the verification that it would be all right because these signs would follow the believer. That's one thing. The Holy Spirit looked down through the stream of time and seen that man would pervert his word and cause this, that, and the other. So he made it so clear and so positive that there's no way at all of getting around it. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now we know that to be the truth. A unbeliever can carry these denominational credentials, but that isn't what makes him a sent man from God. In other words, you can preach exactly like Lee Vail preached, but Lee Vail had the supernatural in his life. He prayed for the sick and he had things happen. He willingly of himself, actually, and he told us that, he said, you know, the reason why he didn't lay more hands on the sick is because he's wanting the people to press in to the point where they would be healed in their seats. But they didn't. And he regretted, at the end, he regretted not having continued on with that. Christine is a product of his laying on of hands. when she was very sick. An unbeliever can carry these denominational credentials, but that isn't what makes him a sent man from God. I've seen brothers think that they were preachers and walk around their work, you know, with their Bible under their arm, and you know, like they were really sent from God, and they had a whole stack of quote books. Whenever you see the guy, you'd have a whole stack of quote books. That don't make you a man sent from God. Anybody can do that. Anybody can put on a badge, put on the uniform. They walk around here with all kinds of books under their arms, around through the country, and this Jehovah's this, and so and so, and all of this, the other, but that doesn't make it so. No, sir, Jesus said you test them by the word. That's right, the word. These signs shall follow. Do you believe in the power of God? Oh, our church teaches that. Our church, that has nothing to do with it. It's what God's word says, see? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The living word spoke by a living God must be in a living being. And how can a man or woman that claims that they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit deny what God said in his word? Because it's the very Holy Spirit that wrote the word, is the very Holy Spirit that's speaking through the person. That's right. It's got to be. You cannot do it. Yes, sir. Now, but that a man might come and say, well, I have a fellowship card. I belong to this church or that church. That still doesn't make it right. He might have a PhD, an LLD, and whatever more from some great school. That's fine. Nothing against that. But still, that still may be all right. I have nothing against that. But if God sent him, and if he denies this commission here, if he's got that plus this, that's wonderful. But if he's got that without this, then it's no good. See? That's right. It's okay if a man wears a uniform and a badge with the credentials, all right. But he could wear the uniform and badge without the credentials. That's right. So it's a confirmation of the commission that must stand. It must do undoubtedly. In closing, I'd like to read from Christ as the Mystery of God Revealed, paragraph 226, where Brother Brown said, his presence in the individual with a personal, a vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. Now look, only in an individual, never in a group, an individual, not in a group. His identification is with an individual. You get that? Not with the Methodist, not with the Baptist, not with the Presbyterian, not with the Lutheran, not with the Pentecostal, but as an individual. I'd like to just add some things here. Not with message, someone who claims to be a message believer, not with someone who claims to be a Thunders believer, not with someone who claims to be a Perugia believer, or a Godhead believer that, you know, not oneness or two-ness or three-ness, but you know. No, it's not what you say. Is the Holy Ghost confirming you and the life that's in you and the word that's in you, living itself out in you? Is he doing it or is he not? You could be a member of a whole great group. That don't mean you're going in a rapture. You could be a member of the right church that has the right doctrine and a pastor who's filled with the Holy Ghost himself, and that don't mean you're going in the rapture. You can be a pastor of a church that has the right doctrine, and that don't mean you as a pastor is going to go in the rapture. Is God manifesting his life, his works through you? As an individual, I'll take one and I'll leave one. I'll separate them. So he's not just talking about himself here. He's talking about individuals filled with his spirit. That's right. There'll be two in the field, he says. I'll take one, leave one. There'll be two in the bed. I'll take one and leave one. It's not a group. It's a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, so surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. And the Holy Spirit living his life, pulsating through him, showing the personal vindication of the word itself, expressing itself to the people and to the world. Now, to me, the key words are here, is so surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. Because when you have anything that means more to you than the word of God and the life of Christ in you, that's idolatry. In closing, from questions and answers, Brother Branham, can any man do the works of Christ unless he is Christ? No. Now, do you mean, dear person, that... Now, let me read that again. Can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? That's what it is. Unless he was Christ? Well, sure. Let's take St. John, just a minute. St. John, the 14th chapter. I want you to look at this now. Now, if you can't catch it right quick, St. John 14, I believe it is. we'll get it right, and look what Jesus said about this, all right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, whoever it is, notice he's defining he as whoever it is, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Any man, if the man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. See, he'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do. Not I shall do, he shall do. He shall, not I, but he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me. And here's a key, and has died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him, and he becomes a part of me. Now, that don't make him Christ, but it makes him part of Christ with the rest of the church, all right? He is not Christ, because that would be antichrist. See? He would be taking away from Christ, but he can do the works of Christ, any believer. All right? It's pretty plain, isn't it? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because even as it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved, we believe, Father, that your fan is in your hand, you're thoroughly purging your floor, but you're gathering your wheat into your garner. And we have read these quotes in line with your scripture. They are perfectly meshed like hand in glove, like the capstone coming down and fitting to the pyramid. And believing, Father, that that's what you're coming for, is a capstone bride, who so much flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, word of your word and spirit of your spirit, until it's hard to recognize that they aren't Christ, they aren't filled with your life, that we are Christian. And so, Father, we ask you to forgive us where we've been offensive to any, in any way, Father. We ask you to help us, Lord, to continue to knock the cockaburs off of our own selves, to look at the mote in our own eye before we see the speck in our brother's eyes. And help us, Lord, just to be focused until the full preeminence of God, your Father, you Father, is in our hearts. Till all our testimony is the same, that all we desire to do is to please you. May we have the testimony of Enoch and of Jesus and of William Branham. And this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee? May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace and give thee